Amen. Appreciate what we've heard thus far. So when Brother Kenneth gave us that definition of mercy, I guess that's why the Spirit led Paul to say, "Be ye kind, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven us." I appreciate that so much. I want to continue this morning with the lesson that the Apostle Peter was giving us in 2 Peter chapter 1. You know, when he tells us those seven things to add to our faith, he doesn't define or he doesn't give us any teaching. He just goes through the list. So we're going to take the scriptures then and define what he's talking about. You know, when he said, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance. That's as far as we've gotten so far. And today, I want to look at patience. Patience. Anybody here need some patience? Maybe I should say, anybody here that doesn't need any patience? I expected it to be a lot quieter, but the laughter tells me that it's absurd to think of the fact that we don't need any more patience. Life teaches us on a regular basis, we need patience. We need it in the bad times. We need it in the good times. So when Peter says, add to your faith virtue, virtue knowledge, knowledge temperance, temperance, patience. That word, you know, the Greek language was more specific than the English. Now, I'm not saying that you can't take the King James English and learn the lesson. I'm not saying that at all. But it does sometimes, it's interesting to look at those original words, and there's the idea of patience. And sometimes we use the word patience a little more loosely than we would find sometimes in Scripture. This word that Peter uses is to bear up under a load, to persevere, to be strong in the face of trials and temptations, you know, so that we can remain faithful. God is faithful to us. He shows us that mercy on a regular basis. So why can't we continue to trust him that he'll supply the things that we need if we're going through trials and tribulations? Because you may not be going through some particular trial or tribulation right now, but hey, wait around. It's going to happen. And I'm not being a doomsdayer. I'm just saying Jesus said, in the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. And so all that we need to face the tribulations of life, we can look to the Lord and depend upon him, and he will either remove our temptation, or he'll give us strength to get through it, or any other way that he helps us to deal with those things. You know, I'm sure that the three Hebrew children would rather have been delivered to where they didn't have to go into the fiery furnace. But you know what? When it was all over, I think they were glad they went in. I mean, can you imagine being a person that could say, guess what? I was in that furnace. Can you imagine? But you know, sometimes we do go through a furnace. It may not be the physical fire that three Hebrew children had to go through, but we go through those things in life. In various ways, we go through those things. And the Lord can bring us through without the smell of smoke being on our clothing. He can do that. He's done it in the past. He told us about it. He can do it today. Is that right, Brother Tim?
Amen.
That's right. Tim's been through some of those, and so some of you have too. Peter would later in his epistle say, or in First Peter, he would say, "Think it not strange concerning the fiery trials that shall come upon you, as though some strange thing happened." Right? I like to say, you know, don't think you're the Lone Ranger when you go through those things. We all share in those same types of experiences and those same types of trials. So this word that Peter uses here for patience is that word that means to bear up under a load. Now, it's not our strength, is it? We're looking to the Lord. We're looking to Him to give us the strength that we need to face whatever it is we're facing. He already knows about it. He knows exactly what we need. You're not going to acquaint the Lord with anything. And a lot of times what we find is by the time that we realize that we need the help, He's already been working on it. The longer I live, the more convinced I am of that. That I have seen situations where the Lord was already at work before the need actually existed. That's how good our God is. That's how merciful our God is. That's how compassionate He is. That's how faithful He is. All right? So this patience. When Jesus was teaching the apostles about the terrible calamity that was coming upon Jerusalem and those around about it. Remember in Matthew 24 and Luke 21, I believe it is. He said this, "In your patience possess ye your souls." In your patience possess ye your soul. There's something very important here, and I believe Peter understood that, and the Spirit led him to include that in the list of adding to your faith patience. In your patience, possess ye your souls. He is not speaking about eternal salvation. That's only by the blood of Jesus. Those people in that day needed instruction on how to be saved for what was coming upon when Jerusalem was destroyed in 70 AD. They needed to know what to do to save themselves from that situation. And we need to know today. We're not going to be in those same circumstances, but in principle, we face things all the time. And we need to know how to deliver ourselves, how that we can be saved. And part of that is, in your patience, possess ye your souls. Sometimes we get all worked up and fly off the handle. You know, we've got that expression, don't we? And it's not a good thing to tell somebody to calm down when they're in that frame of mind. But listen, in your patience, possess ye your souls. In other words, when we're remembering God's ability to help us, when we know that we have all that we need to get through the trials that we're facing, it'll help us to have peace about it. It'll help us to think more clearly. It will help us to make it day to day. I'm not saying it's going to remove the troubles. I'm not saying it's going to remove the fears. I'm not saying it's going to remove the pains. I'm just saying that's our help when we need patience, strength, and peace, and the courage to press on. Now that courage, that patience, that clear thinking, that's already in this list that we've gone over. And Peter says to add to your faith. So I think that we can begin, the more we understand about what Peter is saying here, the more we can understand how this short list of things, seven things that Peter mentions here, will help us face whatever we need to face in life. The word I was looking for is equip us. It will equip us. Don't you like to be prepared? If you're going to face something that you know is going to be difficult, don't you want to be prepared for it? Well, the Word of God gives us all that we need to be prepared for life. I don't know what life's going to throw at me tomorrow. I don't know what life's going to throw at me next week. But I know where God is, and I know He's able to help us. And this Word teaches me the things that I need to know to prepare myself so that I'm not caught off guard. I'll be surprised when things happen. But bless your hearts, the Lord said, in the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I need to be of good cheer each day. I don't need to be fearful of what might happen. Remember, I've told you many times, my favorite definition, or my favorite quote from Mark Twain. Mark Twain said, I've experienced some awful things in life, some of which has actually come to pass. Talking about worry. We do worry about things sometimes. And sometimes those things come to pass. But God is still faithful. His mercies are still fresh every morning. We can look to Him. In your patience, possess ye your souls. Here's instruction on how to face those trials in life. James, the book of James. James has an awful lot, by the way, in those five chapters, James has an awful lot to say about patience. I'll get some of it. James chapter 1. Without a spiritual mind, this is going to sound like strange language. But after the greeting, chapter 1 verse 2, James says this, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations." Does that sound strange to you? Well, it might be, but when we understand what James is telling us, he's telling us, here's an opportunity for us to trust God. Here's an opportunity for God to show Himself strong. Remember that verse in 2 Chronicles 16:9? You know, I like to couple it with Peter says, "Your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, goeth about seeking whom he may devour." That's a fearful thing. But 2 Chronicles 16:9 says, "The eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth, to show Himself strong in the behalf of those whose hearts are perfect toward Him." He's going to and fro to show Himself strong. When we need strength, when we need His help, He's there to show Himself strong. Let's avail ourselves to that help. Let's avail ourselves to what God has promised. Did you know that was even there? I know you do. I've quoted it enough. I know you know it by heart already. But it's there. That promise is there. It's a statement of fact that the eyes of the Lord, in other words, nothing is hidden from the Lord. He knows all that we need. I made the statement recently somewhere that it amazes me. I'm just blown away by the fact that God knows all the needs of all of His people at all times, and He's able to supply that need to all of His people at all times as if He had nothing else to do. We have a great God. And His word is a thorough furnisher unto all good works. And to be faithful in the face of trials is a good work. To be strong and be able to be a help to those that are with us in that trial is a good work. And God's word is a thorough furnisher unto all good works. And even to show forth faithfulness to God and to be able to be confident in him in the face of trials, that's a good witness. Aren't we supposed to be witnesses to him? Well, we have to have seen something first before we can be a witness. And if we have seen because we have trusted God and he has shown himself faithful, then, bless your hearts, we can be a witness to the faithfulness of God in the things that we need in our times of trial. Patience. In your patience possess your soul. When you lose your patience, you're not possessing your soul, right? You know, let's not lose it. Let's trust God. Let's hold on to God and trust him for whatever we need. All right? So, James said, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations. All right? I turned away. Let me get back to it. Count it all joy, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations. By the way, this word, or in the original, fall into, it's two English words, but it's one word in the original. Fall into. It's like you're completely surrounded. Imagine yourself falling into a tank of water, and you're just submerged in it. You're overwhelmed. You're overcome. You're completely surrounded. That's what he's talking about. Isn't that the way it is with trials and troubles sometimes? You just feel like you're drowning. You fall into temptations. Hopefully it's not something we've invited. Okay. But when we fall into those things, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations. Knowing this. What if you don't know this? You're not equipped. The Word of God gives you what you need to be equipped. Okay? Knowing this, that the trying of your faith, isn't Peter telling us to add to our faith? There's some things we need to add. There's some building we need to do in our Christian character. There's in our knowledge of God. Okay, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. As a rule, what happens when you work a muscle? You exercise. You know, I realize there's after a certain time, you know, it might not come back, whatever. But as a rule, when you exercise a muscle, it gets stronger. And that's the idea here. Knowing this, the trying of your faith. I'm almost mixing in Romans 5 here. Trying of your faith worketh patience. The trying of your faith. All right? James told us, count it all joy when that happens. The natural man says, uh-uh. That's not joy. That's not my idea of joy. Right? We understand that. But when you know that you've got something you're facing that's difficult, but you also know here's an opportunity to be faithful, and you also know that God is able to supply our every need, now you're better equipped to face that difficulty. I'm not saying it's going to make it easy. I'm just saying you're better equipped. And it's not your strength that's going to get you through it anyway. Right. It's God's strength. Remember when Paul begged the Lord 3 times to remove that thorn in his flesh? Mm-hmm. And you remember what the Lord said? No. Well, he didn't actually say that, but that was the answer.
The
Because God had a purpose for that thorn being there. Lest he should be exalted above measure with the abundance of revelations. A thorn was given to him in the flesh. A messenger of Satan to buffet him. He tells us why the thorn. God did not remove the thorn. But what did he give him? He said, my grace is sufficient for thee. For my strength, Lord, I don't have much strength. That's okay. I do, he says. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. When we feel we don't have any strength, you're not in bad shape, you're in good shape. If you know to look to the Lord, if you know to trust in him, if you know that he's there to give us the strength we need, well, for whatever we're facing. All right, so knowing that the trying of your faith worketh patience, but let patience have her perfect work. That's a perfecting work. That's a maturing work. That's a work in which, as that happens, we learn a lot, don't we? If you've been through great trials and tribulations, you know you've learned a lot about the faithfulness of God. You've learned a lot about the mercies of God. You've learned a lot about God giving you what you didn't have and providing what you needed in your times of trouble. And that can work its way through all levels of tribulation. It can be something very small. There's times we thank the Lord because we dropped something and it didn't break. That's not a big deal, is it? But it's okay to thank the Lord for it. And sometimes we get dropped or something and we don't break. And we really have to thank the Lord for his mercy, for his grace. Patience. In your patience, possess ye your souls. Let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing, lacking nothing. That perfecting work, that maturing work, the more it brings us to the point of trusting God, the better off we are. We may not want to go through it, but if we come out the other side trusting God more, thanking God more, more appreciative of his mercy and his provisions, that's a good thing. That's a good thing. All right? So, James makes mention of that. And you know, those kind of problems, they're diverse. As he said, diverse temptations. There's just all kinds. There's things of a civil nature with our government and frustrations that we might have with some of the things going on in the world. Okay? It might be life itself. There may be some things we want to do in life and we feel frustrated and having difficulties accomplishing some of those things. It might be family problems. There may be things going on in a family that you're struggling with, and it's a struggle every day, and whatever the case might be. And there's a lot of that in the world today, isn't there? It could be a phone call from the doctor saying you've got some dread disease after you've been there. I mean, it comes in diverse ways. But listen, it's the same solution. God is able to supply our need. So in the face of that, in your patience, possess ye your souls. Knowing this, the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing, James says. Lacking nothing. If the scriptures are a thorough furnisher unto all good work, then the things that we're lacking, maybe we haven't applied ourselves to the scriptures to know how we need to be living. Okay? That's a stretch, but I'm just telling you, if the scriptures are a thorough furnisher unto all good work, and trusting God is a good work, then it all works together, doesn't it? All right? Now, I'm running out of time. James, later in chapter 5 in the book of James, he reminds us of Job. Now, if you're talking about trials and tribulations, you can understand, if you know the scriptures, you can understand why Job would come up in the conversation.
Oh, yeah.
Job had great troubles. The messenger came telling him that he'd lost his family. Well, he lost his herds, and then he lost his family. And I'm giving you the short version. I mean, he suffered tremendous losses. And then the old devil comes along and says, "Does Job serve thee for naught?" And I don't want to spend a lot of time there, but the devil then smote him with boils from the crown of his head to the sole of his feet. Now that had to be awful. To be covered all over your body with these sores and to have to deal with that. But then his own companion said, "Dost thou still retain thine integrity? Curse God and die." You know, if you think anybody could give you some encouragement, it would be your spouse. And he said, "Thou speakest as one of the foolish women. Shall we receive good at the hand of the Lord and not evil?" And all this, Job didn't sin with his lips. But he was in that situation. But what did James tell us about that? James chapter 5, verse 10, speaking of patience, he says, "Take, my brethren, the prophets who have spoken in the name of the Lord for an example of suffering affliction and of patience." So, well, let's continue. "Behold, we count them happy," that's blessed, "we count them happy which endure." Those that bear up under the trial, those that persevere, those where patience has its perfect work. "We count them happy which endure." "Ye have heard of the patience of Job." Yes, we have. But I want you to hear the rest of the story. I satisfy that there's many people that know about the sufferings of Job that don't know what happened in the end.
That's right. That's right.
And that's what we need to realize. That's what we need to focus on. That suffering wasn't for naught. That there was a great blessing and great benefit to Job for faithfully enduring. Okay? Here's how James puts it. "You've heard of the patience of Job and have seen the end of the Lord." In other words, now listen, it was the devil that brought the sufferings. But God brought the blessing.
Amen. That's
God was faithful. God had mercy. Job was able to see blessings at the end of this. Behold, we count them happy which endure. You've heard of the patience of Job and seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. Job endured a lot, and that's an understatement. But it says the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. Sometimes pity is equated in Scripture with compassion. Brother Kenneth mentioned about compassion. In Matthew 18, both words are used in a statement when the Lord gave this example of a servant that owed his master a tremendous sum of money. And the Lord forgave him. Then that servant, who had been forgiven much, went to somebody who owed him a paltry sum. Just a little. And he said, have patience with me, and I'll repay thee. But he wouldn't. He took him by the throat and he said, pay me. And there's much more to that. But the Lord said, when the Lord of that first servant, when he heard what had happened, he said, oughtest not thou to have had compassion on thy servant, as I had pity on thee?
That's right.
Compassion and pity. In your patience possessing your souls, let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. As we go through the troubles, as we go through the trials, if we're trusting the Lord will bring us through. In Job's case, you go over, what is it, chapter 40? The end of the book of Job, when he prayed for his friends. The Lord heard his prayer and blessed him with twice as much as he had. The end of the Lord. The Lord blessed him in being faithful to him. Now, there's a lot more about the book of Job, but I just wanted to bring that out. That's what James does. He speaks about the suffering of Job, but the end of the Lord, how that the Lord was pitiful and of tender mercy. So the next time we're facing a trial, I'll just have to end it here. The next time we're in some tribulation, what are we going to do? Are we going to say, woe is me? Are we going to lose it? Or are we going to look to the one whose eyes run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him? I'm not telling you that these trials are not going to be hard and they're not going to have great struggle in it. But what I am saying is, if we're faithful to God, in your patience possess ye your souls. It'll help us in whatever tribulation we're facing. Very quickly, one more thought before we close. I want to deal with this. Sometimes patience is simply needed for us to maintain a good spiritual attitude so that we can be an encourager to others. Now, Peter's going to get to this a little later on about brotherly kindness and things like that, but there's another word for patience in the Scriptures, and it has to do with long-suffering. Patience often, usually, is the kind of patience we need to bear up under the trial in the face of tribulations and troubles. This other kind of patience is the kind of patience we exercise toward another, long-suffering toward people. Sometimes we refer to that as being patient. But I want you to notice that all of this, when you take the recipe of what's involved here in this patience and this long-suffering, if you had a recipe for it, one of the main ingredients would have to be love. Because when you look at this list that Peter has given us and it brings it down to the end, where do you get to? Charity. Love in action. And so in all of these things, as we make this progression, and I'm not saying that we're going to get to a point where we're in sinless perfection and we're never going to sin again. I'm not talking about that. And I'm not talking about the fact that you'll never forget a lesson. You know, there's times when I realize I have to give myself a bump on the forehead and say, you know, why did I forget that? That's just because we're human. We're Christians under construction. Christians under construction. That's what we are. When the Lord comes again, he's going to finish that. But he's left us his word, which is a thorough furnisher unto all good works. We're to add patience to our faith. And in your patience, possess ye your souls. We can be more patient. We can be more forgiving. We can be more merciful when we're remembering that God will bless us with what we need. May God help us to add patience to our faith. May God bless you is our prayer.